Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Julian Mungo. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Last week we were talking about your Le Maréchal, and this week we're going to talk about another range of wines that you have, your Pure range.
Yes, exactly. This is a range I decided to develop. I started in 2012, and I started with Pure Merlot, but we are actually tasting Pure Franc, which is 100% Cabernet Franc. This is the first vintage I do.
I'm just sort of smelling it. Now, it does smell like Cabernet Franc.
Yeah, this is very typical Cabernet Franc.
Very soft. The tannins are very low. It's like pencil leading, which I look for in Cabernet Franc. So, yeah, it's good. Tell me, what's Pure? What's the Pure range about, and why are you doing Cabernet Franc?
Inside the range, inside the Maréchal range, Pure is a little bit different because this is wine which is done with a very low level of sulfur. Mm-hmm. So I decided to develop this range because juice were really interesting in the vintage 2012. And more than having a demand on this kind of wine, it was for me a reflection on the global using of sulfites. So we did a taste with the Merlot in 2012. The taste was good. The wine was good too. So we bottled the wine, and the feedback from the customers was excellent. So we followed after the vintage 2012. We did a new vintage in 2014. And this is the third for the Pure Merlot, 2015. And this is the first one I do it with the Cabernet Franc on the same vintage in 2015.
Why didn't you do a 2013 vintage?
2013 was hard vintage. Complicated. A lot of rain. Very small production, so it was not adapted for extra production. It was hard to keep our own production and to maintain the quantity we needed for our markets, so it was not adapted to make extra production.
Okay, and what about the quality of the fruit? Are you worried about if it's wet, you might get a bit more molds and mildews?
For sure, that is to say, as the first vintage was 2012 and the concentration was really good, we were sure that it was impossible in 2013 to have the same concentration. Even we succeeded in having good quality of grapes and good quality of wines, it was difficult to have the same standing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we decided not to produce and to do it again in 2014.
You say it's a low sulfur dioxide.
Yes.
But it's still got sulfur dioxide in the wines. Why are you going down that? Is it a commercial reason or a personal reason?
Both. That is to say, personal reason, because until the beginning, even in the normal range, I'm going to say in the production for Chateau Maréchal, Chateau La Pensée, and Clos des Bergères, I always tried to limit the quantity of sulfur. And I decided to see the effect if I added a quarter of the normal quantity. Mm-hmm. So it was a test. And the test was really good. But the approach is totally different. The wine is much more fruity. We are looking for really easy to drink wines, balance on the fruit. The wine is able to travel, but for sure the wine will not have the capacity of aging regarding Chateau Maréchal. This is not the same wine profile.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We are looking for round wine, fruity wine, easy to drink. So
yeah.
Different style, different profile. Mm. But it's, for me, interesting to have different profile among the range.
Yep, yep. And this wine doesn't taste like it's had any oak influence. Is there any oak
in
it?
No, nothing, no oak.
No.
Because as there is no sulfur, my idea was to produce, as the name, Pure. They say just the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Just to identify and to vinify grapes issued for Merlot or grapes issued for Cabernet Franc, and to reverse the pure fruit.
And what do you find about having low sulfur? Do you find, like, sulfur dioxide, people say that sulfur dioxide can bleach the color sometimes and it changes the fruit. What do you find the difference between lower sulfur and higher sulfur dioxide?
If I compare producing the same wine without the same quantity of sulfur, for sure, not adding more sulfur has an effect on the color.
Yeah.
We save color. Without sulfur, we save more color.
Okay. So sulfur dioxide, lower levels of sulfur dioxide, you get more color from it.
Yes, more color. But for the moment, I have no view to be sure that the effect will be very long on the time. Mm-hmm. But you will see with pure Merlot, the wine is dark, mm-hmm. really dark. And this is really due to a small quantity of sulfate.
Okay.
But once again, pure, this is a specific range for specific markets, for a specific consumption.
And how long do you think the wine would age with, given it's got lower levels of sulfur dioxide?
The test was the first vintage, 2012.
Have you tried the bottle of that recently?
Yes, and there is no problem.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The wine is still good, the wine is balanced, the wine is, there is no oxidation sensation, so the wine is still good. That's why we need good grapes, we need good concentration, and we need high quality of wine mm-hmm. to do this style.
I had a no sulfur wine that was 6 years old yesterday, and no sulfur... And 6 years is, to me, that's a recipe for disaster. The wine tasted a little bit funky. I'm not sure if it was Brett or reduction. I don't think it can be reduction, but it tasted pretty good. You know, after 6 years of no sulfur dioxide, I was well impressed. I thought the wine would be absolutely staggering, falling apart, and it was good. So, you know, you've got a wine that's 4 years old.
I think... This is what we can establish on the first vintage 2012.
Mm-hmm.
When we taste the wine now, after four years, wine is good. And the wine is always fruity. So for sure, there is security. But the way we try, and I would like to develop, to push on the consumption of this wine, is to drink it young, fresh,
yeah,
fruity,
yeah.
and not to overpass the line.
Okay. And some people go, oh, sulfur dioxide giving me headaches and hangovers. And I read an article, the Sunday People, or one of these terrible English newspapers, talking about why people are drinking low sulfur wines because of hangovers. And I'm going, it's not true. You know, sulfur dioxide, I don't believe. It might give a few people a hangover, but most people don't really have a problem with sulfur dioxide.
I agree with you. I think some people are really sensitive, but the majority are not.
Yeah.
And this is not linked to the level of sulfur.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree with you. There is no, we can't establish that there is, of course, if you feel it when you taste the wine, if you are drinking a white wine and you feel the sulfur on the glass, for sure there is a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be good and to be protected, a wine doesn't need a high quantity of sulfur.
Doesn't appear to be. You were talking earlier about the way you decide how much sulfur dioxide you put in the wine. You get a report from the lab saying, you know, you need to put in 7 grams of sulfur dioxide or whatever it is. You're saying that sometimes the lab tends to be a bit overly conservative.
The lab needs to work with security. That's normal. So they know that if you use 7 grams, you will be protected and there is no risk. So this is your own responsibility then to decide to have to decrease the level of sulfur. But for sure, the lab is his own responsibility to advise producers to say, okay, if you want to work with security, you have to work between 5 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
This is normal. And then this is our job to make some experimentations. This is the way I like to work, and this is what we're looking for, something less standard.
In the winery, sulfur dioxide's got a couple of roles in it that it uses. What are they again?
The level of sulfites you are going to use is not linked to the Brett anomalies. You can have a low level of sulfites without any bread.
Yep.
And you can have bread with a high level of sulfite.
Oh, okay. I thought sulfur dioxide killed bread.
There is no link.
I thought bread was sensitive to sulfur dioxide.
Well, you can have bread when you start fermentation.
Just for the listeners, Brettanomyces is a type of yeast strain that creates a sort of a sweaty saddle, leathery.
Well, it smells like horses' place.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the link mainly is Brettanomyces is due to fermentation that are really long to start.
Yeah.
Or if you have a cleaning problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have a lot of sulfur. If you have bread, you will keep bread.
Yeah, okay. All right. So the main reason is what? Oxidation then? In the
yes, this is oxidation. And of course...
Bacterial.
When you put wine in barrels, this is a different environment. So you have to protect the wine. And if you want to have some export markets... You need to have a wine which is able to travel, that can support travel conditions.
Mm.
So for the main range, this is an obligation.
Yeah, yeah.
And on my side, I will maintain sulfur in a huge majority of my on my range.
Cabernet Franc, 100% Cabernet Franc?
100%.
Yeah, quite strange for Bordeaux.
Yes.
Why?
Strange because Bordeaux is mainly blending wines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
and Merlot is dominating.
And Merlot is this way. On the right bank, this is Merlot, mainly Merlot. But when you have good quality of Cabernet Franc, you can use them in the last blending. So as we produced pure Merlot, it was interesting to develop a range with pure Franc. And last year, we planted Malbec, which is also raised, but unusual to Bordeaux. So my final idea is to have a range of pure wines, pure Merlot, pure Franc, and pure Malbec.
We'll see how you go. Malbec's a tough grape to ripen. Okay, let's have a look at the Merlot. It's not jammy, but it is quite ripe on the nose, isn't it? What is it, 2015?
2015,
yeah,
yes.
So that was quite a warm year.
It's concentrated.
Yeah, yeah. 14% alcohol as well, so it's all creeping up, isn't it? The old days of Bordeaux at 12.5%, they're starting to look a bit numbered, aren't they? Round. So a little bit of tannin structure in there.
More structure than the Franc.
Yeah,
And the wine is really dark.
It's opaque, isn't it? It's good colour.
When you feel tannins, as you can feel them, for sure you can say that the wine has a high capacity of aging.
Yeah, the tannins are quite chalky. They're quite fine-grained, chalky tannins, so they're quite nice and ripe. The acidity is the acid test, so to speak. Let's have a look at the acidity.
This is long, this is fresh.
Yeah, no, it's got good levels of acidity as well for a 14% Merlot. Did you make an adjustment in the winery for acidity?
No.
No adjustment at all? Oh, okay, that's quite good then. So you've managed to get a reasonable amount of acidity in a wine at 14%.
Yeah, this is to say because you can harvest grapes at 14 degree alcohol, can conserve a high acidity.
Mm.
This is the way of the grapes and the level of maturity is done.
Mm-hmm.
And if we decided to harvest the grapes at 14 degree, it's because we had balance acidity and level of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. Nice wines. You've got a great range of wines. Where can people get the pure range in the UK? Is it exported?
You can find the wines through a wine merchant, which is located in London, which is Humble Grape.
Humble Grape.
Humble Grape, Jeb's Dawson.
Will they have the Cabernet Franc as well?
No, because we didn't start selling Cabernet Franc. We will start in the beginning of September.
So but from September?
Yes, from September. I think Jeb's now is working with Pure Merlot 2014 and is working all our range.
Yeah,
so I love working with James.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's in Clapham, isn't it? Humble Grape.
Clapham, yes. Yes, a wine bar in Clapham.
Is it a wine bar? Not a.
Yeah, this is a wine shop and wine bar.
A wine shop
so
as well.
Yes, this is both.
Okay. And he'll be able to sell wine anywhere in England. What about in any other markets you sell the wines?
For this wine, yes, in Australia.
In Australia?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's like selling sand to the Arabs.
In Australia, because they are very open-minded with this style of wines, something new with a label, which is because the label, as you saw, doesn't refer to Bordeaux. This is something very specific. So Australians are very open-minded and open to that kind of packaging.
Okay. I've seen a few single varietal wines now in Bordeaux. It seems to be not so much a trend because the mainstay of Bordeaux is definitely blends.
Blend, of course.
And a blend, you can get a lot more value. You can get a better quality wine on average, you know, because you can create wines that have the right balance that you're looking for because you've got more blending components to create what you're looking for. So often I always think of blends as being, all things being equal, will be slightly better value that for the same quality of the wines, usually. But there is a trend in Bordeaux at the moment for single varietals, isn't there? Everybody seems to be doing one.
That's to say, for us, not to blend is unusual.
Mm. So, definitely unusual, but there seems to be a lot of people.
That's why we try to just to produce what we call monocépage wines, as you say, just one variety of grapes. And because for us, to compare to the New World, which is the rule, for us, this is really unusual. So we try to make something different. And as the historical production for Bordeaux is to blend wine, if you want to make something different and something new and something young, as you say, with a young style, we go on just one variety grapes.
Yeah. Okay. And whilst you might have a single variety of Merlot or a single variety of Cab Franc, you can have different clonal selections, you can have different picking times, different fruit treatments. So you don't necessarily, even though it's one Merlot, it can be made up of a lot of components. Have you got different components that you're creating when you're doing your blending for the pure Merlot?
For pure, this is just one parcel. And there is clearly no blend.
Okay.
There is no. This is one parcel, one tank.
Okay.
But for the rest of the range, when I produce Merlot from one part of the winery and I'm producing Merlot to the other part, for sure it's not the same Merlot.
Yeah.
It's not the same Merlot because this is not exactly the same soil. This is not the same
clone
process.
Yeah.
This is not the same average. This is everything is different.
Yeah.
So we have different style, and when we blend, at the end, we have a palette, aromatic palette, which is really large.
Okay, excellent. I think we'll wrap it up there, Julien. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye bye.